Father, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning as we encourage one another around the word. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope it is well with everybody. I certainly hope it's well with your loved ones, your family, your affairs around you, business, work, job, life, whatever that you've got going on. I hope it is well with you. We all need that life and work balance. You know, sometimes we got to take a step back and just relax, you know, and recharge. You know, sometimes that's good. Jesus himself actually taught that. You know, many of us fail to do that appropriately at times. And then the next thing you know, enough time passes, there is a burnout, you know, so we got to take that time off from time to time to refresh. We don't need to wait until everything is overwhelming. Take some time out. That's why God made day and night. He made day and night for us to take time out every single day. Praise the Lord. If you can take some time out every single day and relax, be a little more refreshed. And I know some people walk in the night and daytime and different hours of day. You got to figure it all out. You know, if you walk in the daytime, then take time off in the evenings to relax. If you walk in the evening, then find time during the day to relax. Jesus said in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And so they departed into a desert place by sheep privately. You know, this is where the idea of retreat came from. You know, people, you know, in, you know, ministries and church and all of that, they'll have this retreat. But you don't need to wait for the corporate retreat. Have a retreat on your own sometimes. A personal time off from time to time, just so we don't get burnt out. I just want to give a short exhortation, but I want to call out a few things here this morning. Praise the Lord. Owning your faith journey and bouncing back. So from the title, let me just stop and ask you, what comes to mind when you see the title? You don't need to do an audible response, but if you can, I want you to post something in the chat room. What comes to mind right away when you, by looking at that title? But I'm going to get right to it while you're thinking about that. The first thing I want to say is that, you know, every one of us we all have a responsibility to own our own faith journey. And I'm going to explain that in a bit. You know, we have to take responsibility for our faith journey. Now, this journey that we are on, from the time that we are born until now, we've been born until now, many people live a few years, some many years, some many, many, many years. Along the way, some people have an encounter. They are graced to have the encounter with the grace of God and turn their lives over and start this, what we call this faith journey. And a lot of things happen along the way. You know, some good, some bad, some up, some down. And, you know, along the way also we pick up a lot of beliefs, and we form a belief system. many who grow up in church, went to church with their parents and so forth, you know, sometimes we fail to curate our own beliefs. We just follow whatever everybody around us is believing. We do whatever they are doing. We sing the way they sing, pray the way they pray, and all that, you know, because that's just the environment, you know, that we grew up in. And those of us who are raising kids as well, you know, they're probably imitating us, try to do what we do, pray like we pray, do whatever we do, you know. But I want to say to us today that everyone needs to own their faith journey. We should encourage our children as well. After you hear this lesson, you'll see why. And it also gives us, in this lesson, we'll also see how that, you know, despite setbacks and things, you know, we got to pick ourselves up and continue this journey. A lot of people are born into situations that, I mean, they have no control over. I mean, we don't choose our families. We don't choose, you know, things around us from birth necessarily. But as we begin to grow up, you know, some people remain as victims of their circumstances, and we do not define our own journey. And so, unfortunately, that's the sad story for many. But in this room today, I want to talk to us just heart to heart and to say, look, you got to define your own journey. You got to own your successes and particularly your failures, which I don't like to call failures. I like to call them experiences and learning, you know, opportunities, teachable moments, and all the like. And anything that we've been through that didn't quite turn out the way we thought it would was a learning moment, or should be a learning moment. We shouldn't take it as failures necessarily. And I've said a few times when we're teaching the Wisdom series that if you do not move beyond your past, you will never be better than that past. Whether that past was filled with successes or failures or mingled with both. You know, if we rest on our oars on the successes that we've had, then you're not going to have new victories or new successes. If you dwell on the quote unquote failures of the past, then you're just going to already be defeated even in the moment. So, a wide variety of things that I want to look at today. You know, I want to talk to us, speak to something in us that is the winner spirit, the winning attitude, the attitude that takes responsibility for failures or setbacks or what have you, and build upon that, learning from that. And we must get up and move on. I will read a few scriptures and I will say a few things, and then we'll see where we go into this message. I love some of the ways that some of these people in the Bible put it out. One of my favorite is Micah chapter 7 verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. You know, because when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. You know, so this man, he's not going to stay down for the count. Sit in darkness means, it could mean any number of things. There are days when we hear the voice of God clearly. you know, and there are some days when it seems as if, you know, you can't even hear his voice. You know, we covered hearing his voice the last few days, I mean, a couple of days ago, you know, and so on. But, you know, there are times when you are on the mountain, but then there are times when you are in the valley. Sometimes when we are in the valley, it seems like we are, quote unquote, in darkness, when you can't hear his voice, when his voice is not even present. Well, at such a time, I say, when you are feeling like that, remember what this man right here says. The Lord shall be a light unto me. There's a song that says, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When you feel like you're in the darkness and his voice is nowhere to be heard, remember what he told you when you were in the light. Because he probably already prepared you for that situation. Because God's not going to let us go into any situation unprepared. It just may be that we did not gather the lessons that we needed to gather, you know, that will prepare us appropriately for that situation. But the things he told you when you were in the light, those things are still true when it seems now that you are not hearing his voice. So you got to remember that. Jesus said also in the book of John, talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, he said many things to his disciples. I love this one that he says in John chapter 16, you know, and verse 13. It says, you know, we'll show you things to come. In other places, in John chapter 14, verse 26, and John 15, 26, he talks about all of the things that the Holy Spirit, you know, will do for us. You know, he calls him the Comforter. And he also says that he will remind us of things that he has already told us. So that is an important lesson, you know, for us to remember. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Sometimes we forget. And people are soon to forget, you know. They're soon to forget the things that God has done. We see it in the story of the children of Israel. They forgot very quickly when they got to the Red Sea. And they forgot that the same God, you know, has done great things, you know, just very recently, not even too far away, just a few days, and they forgot. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, John 14 and 26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So what I said to you before, when you were on the mountaintop, you were hearing his voice clearly, remember it in the days when it seems like it's all dark and his voice is nowhere to be heard. The word that he gave you in the light will stir you up to arise, and the Lord will be a light unto you. Micah would not stay down for the count. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he rises up again. Well, you know, it's one thing to fall, it's another thing to get up. But you need to look carefully to see the reason why you fell. That's what owning your journey is all about. Can't blame any circumstances around us. You know, this blame game has been played since the beginning. Eve blamed the devil. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, and so on and so forth. Everybody blaming one another, but not taking responsibility. Neither of them took responsibility, but they blamed somebody. Adam said, well, the woman you gave me. So it's the woman you gave me that caused all these problems. And the woman said, well, it was the serpent that beguiled me. You know, Esau said, well, you know, this man stole my birthright. He forgot that he was the one that sold his birthright. Many times people don't take responsibility for the things that we find happening to us. But Owning your own faith journey means, among other things, that you take responsibility, you learn from the process, you pick up yourself, and you move forward. Habakkuk 3:17-19, I love the way he also said, in spite of all the economic woes around him, he was still going to praise the Lord anyway. Though the fig tree does not blossom, I mean, though everything be cut off all around him, economic woes, things not working out, everything looking bad, and so on. Fruit are cut off from the vines, the labor of the olive has failed, the fields are not yielding any meat, the flocks are cut off from the fold, you know, there is no herd in the cattle, I mean, in the stalls, or all these things. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Now, these people are people that owned, you know, their own journeys. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. You know, they encourage themselves in the Lord. So they owned their own journey. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4. Let's see the way that, you know, Isaiah puts it out. Remember, we're talking about owning your own journey. As we go through the lesson, it will become clearer what we are trying to talk about. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain. What does that mean? Well, it means that God has the capability to also level the field. When you are in the mountain, when you're looking at mountains ahead of you that look like they're blocking your way, the Lord is able to level those mountains. When you are in the valley and it looks like you can't climb out of the place, the Lord is able to lift you up out of the place. When things look crooked, well, he's able to make them straight. The Lord is able to do all of these things. The psalmist himself said, look, in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord heard me, cried unto him, and so forth, and he brought me out of the miry clay. And, you know, there's always a story and a testimony. At the end, if we stick with the program, stick with the process, we never give up, and we never give in. And he brought him out of the miry clay. At the end, set his feet on the rock, gave him a new song in his mouth. Hallelujah. So owning our process, I mean the journey, owning this process also means, in the words of Isaiah 52 and verse 2, what he said, which is, I love this verse. He said, look, shake yourself from the dust. Dust means, look, you fall in, you're down on the ground. Don't stay there wallowing in that. You know, feeling sorry for yourself or just looking back over the things that didn't work right, the failures, mistakes, or whatever. Shake yourself from all of that. Arise and sit down. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. You got to take responsibility for doing that. You got to own it. Hallelujah. You know, so we don't stay down for the count. Many scriptures that encourage us. This is just a little encouraging room today. Nothing you've not heard before. Even nothing you haven't heard before, even in this room. But I wanted to encourage us today. Job 14, verses 7 to 9, one more of my favorite scriptures. You know, when there is when a tree is cut down, he says, there is still hope that that tree will come back to life. Even though it is rotting and cut down and begins to rot away in the ground, there is still hope. There is hope of a tree if it be cut down, he says, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, it'll board again. And there's a positive outlook when things are wasting away or things are not working right. Every setback that you have faced is a portal for a greater comeback. God will make a way for you come out of it, but you have to own that process. You can't sit there, you know, complaining or bemoaning the situation. We've talked many times about the story of Joseph, but all those setbacks, all those challenges, and all those evil that befell him, you know, but he owned it. He didn't, you know, we don't know that at any time he sat down and started bemoaning the situation, you know, and he was just kept going. And the Lord eventually set him up on high, just like the Lord promised. We see that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. God always causes us to triumph. And we in that triumph and the hope of that triumph is what must be with us when we are owning the difficulty that is at hand at the moment. When we are going through, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they were cast into prison. You know, and, you know, they could be there bemoaning the situation, but they were singing praises. And even at midnight, you know, they sang praises, they praised the Lord. They were joyful for God even giving them an opportunity to suffer for his name. And the Lord, he sent an angel to set them free. But they were not there bemoaning the situation. They owned whatever came their way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they owned that situation. They stepped up to it. And they were not going to back down from it. Even though you throw us into the fire, they said, we know our God is able to deliver us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to be here thinking about any alternatives. We're going to own that situation. And the Lord, of course, he came through for them. Many other scriptures. I love the way that Paul puts this in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Talks about all the things and the various ways that the enemy will come at you. And how do you go through it? We are troubled on every side. What's your response? Well, your response is, well, I'm not distressed. That's how you own the situation. We are perplexed. Well, what's your response? Well, I'm not in despair. We are persecuted. What's your response? Well, I'm not forsaken. We're cast down. What's your response? Well, I'm not destroyed. And I'm not staying down for the count. That's how you own the process. We also have to define our own journey. Define our own journey. I'll get to that in a minute. Let me read a few more encouraging statements here, you know, from Paul. Romans chapter 8 begins to tell us from verse 31 through about 38 or 39. You know, some of the ways to also deal with this. What shall we say then to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or what can be against us? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. Shall he not also freely give us all these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, and is now at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, look at all these things. Tribulation, shall tribulation or distress, shall persecution or famine or nakedness or the peril or the sword. I mean, all these things. He said, no, but in all these things we are more than conquerors. To him that loved the Lord. Look at Paul's response. Now, this is Paul's response. Is it your response as well? Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, whether I'm up, height, nor depth, or I'm down, or any other creature. He even said, look, I've learned how to be full. I've learned how to be empty. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Said that in Philippians. So we need to own the situation that's around us. You know, rather than looking at the situation and thinking, well, you know, I don't know why this happened to me. Why, Lord? Why me? No. I have learned both to be abased. Philippians 4 and verse 12. I've also learned how to be in abundance. Sometimes I have plenty, sometimes I have nothing. In every way and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I own the situation, you know, you just, hey, in all these things, I can do all things, he said, through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, let's talk about defining our own journey. We've talked about it. I mean, what is the, you know, what are you expecting to get out of whatever situation that you are confronted with? You can define it. You can also say, well, you know, I mean, why am I in this situation? You can feel sorry for yourself. Or you can make up your mind, no matter how you got there, to do something about it and get a better outcome. We've read the story of the prodigal son who made a lot of errors in squandering the fortune that came his way, that he got. Mismanagement of his funds, using no prudence, you know, wasting away his substance with riotous living and everything. But at some point in time, he took responsibility. He said, well, you know, look at me here. He said he came to himself. That's owning the process, owning the situation. I can stay here and waste away, or I can do something about the situation. You can define your own response. Now, there are many aspects to this, and I don't know how much of it I can cover today because I don't want it to be long. We can even define your own journey in terms of, well, where do you see yourself in a week, a month, in a year, a couple of years, or further years? What do you see ahead of you? The Lord told Abraham in Genesis, he told him Genesis 13, after he separated from Lot, he said to him, you know, from the place where you are right now, you know, Genesis 13 and verse 14. Look from the place where you are. And what do you see? That's a question. Do you look all around you? To the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. For all that you can see. Now, that's another way of defining your own journey. What can you see by the eye of faith? You know, the more you can see, the more I can give to you, the Lord said to Abraham. All that you can see. So define this by your eye of faith. Define your journey. Hallelujah. Those of you who are in the marketplace or even in business, own your own careers. You know, and when we did the wisdom series, we talked about knowledge. You know, how we should learn and do things. We talked about developing your talent into a skill. Developing your skill into competence and developing your competence into expertise. And finally, develop that long enough to become an authority in the field. Well, you know, you've got to own that journey. That's the reason why we go to school and make career choices. But sometimes when we are even in career, if you are in the workplace, you're on the job, I mean, a regular setting, not necessarily in your business, but you are an employee for a company or somewhere else. Sometimes you've got to, you know, step up and define and own your own career, you know, because nobody's going to do it for you. Some people will say, well, I have no man to help me. Just like the man, the story, you know, in John chapter 5, he said, you know, every time there's an opportunity, there's a moving and a stirring of the pool, I can't get in there because someone else always steps in ahead of me. Well, there are many people that feel like that. Somebody always getting that promotion and they're always passing you by. And so on and so forth. But maybe it's time for you to own your own career and develop yourself. Hallelujah. Many people don't do that. You know, you got to develop. You have to go listen to the knowledge, the teaching of knowledge. You must develop yourself. You know, the writer of the book of Proverbs, he said, look, I gave myself to search out all things that are done upon the face of the earth. And that's why people were seeking him out. Solomon, they sought him out from all over the world to come and hear. Gave himself to knowledge. To seek him and develop himself. Paul said to Timothy, until I come, give attendance to reading. Let no man despise your youth. Well, how are you going to do it? You know, he said, grow your knowledge bank. Basically what he said to Timothy, grow your knowledge bank, develop yourself, you know, identify and develop a strategy, map out your own success. Glory to God. It's a deep subject, but I'm only going to drop, I'm just dropping it here and there and so forth. You can even own your own, what we call, owning your own executive presence. Define how you want to be seen. Define how you want to be known. You know, not necessarily two aspects of that. How do people see you? Well, how do you want yourself to be seen? In business, in faith, in other areas of our life, these things are important. We don't think about them all the time. I mean, we just go through life casually. Well, we have a responsibility at the end of the day to say, well, what did you do with the talent I gave you? I said, well, one said, well, I developed it some more and I gained 100%. And I'd say, well, that's good. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The other one came and said, well, you know, I did likewise. I developed it and gained 100%. I said, well, good. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. And one other one came and said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it seems like I'm always a victim of my circumstances. Why am I never getting ahead? Why is everybody having 5 talents and 2 talents and I'm only having this one? I mean, everybody has a lot more opportunity than I do. And I'm always missing out. And so, they did nothing to develop the talent. And the Lord said, well, you're an unprofitable servant. So he took it from him, gave it to somebody else. We got to own our own journey. You know, in everything, every aspect. Don't leave anything up to chance. And some people say, well, you know, life happens or something. Nature or this or that dealt me a hard hand or this and that. Well, That may be the case, but what is your response? If you get knocked down, what is your response? I've seen some fights where someone got knocked down and their corner says, get up. The other corner says, stay down. And what is your response when you're taking the count? Are you going to take, and some people will even take up the 8 count and then get up because they recharge. Others will stay down through the 10 count altogether. You know, now, what is your response when your corner says, get up? And who's in your corner? The number one person that's in your corner, first of all, is the Lord. Hallelujah. And when you go to that corner, it's you. It's not all the people in the crowd. It's you. You need to take care of you sometimes. You know, I started this room off even before I got into this lesson. You know, most people never knowing what I was going to say and why I was saying that. But it all ties down to this. Even what I started saying by, look, sometimes you got to take care of yourself and take some time to rest. That's all part of owning your own journey as well. Because if you burn yourself out, you're no good not only to yourself, you're no good to anybody. And so, taking care of yourself is also a good thing and a part of owning your journey. Take care of yourself. You take care of everybody else. Who takes care of you? You got to take care of yourself. Praise God. Paul said, look, when I preach to others, you know, I have to do self-examination as well. You know, put my own flesh under, take care of business. And so forth, so that, you know, after taking care of others, I'm not myself a castaway. He's owning his own journey. Let's own our journey by not blaming anybody else for anything. You know, take it in stride. Get up and bounce back in the name of the Lord. You know, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish like the palm tree. You know, some palm trees are like that. You can swing this way and swing that way, but they keep on standing. Can you take the heat, basically? As some people say, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's the situation with many people. But can you take the heat? And no matter what happens, can you come out as a winner? Can you find a way to turn failures, setbacks, and different things to successes and greater comebacks? Can you find a way to do that? When it looks like everything is down, can you say that there is a lifting up? According to Job, you know, chapter 22, it talks about when men are cast down, you will say there's a lifting up. Well, that's for somebody who's owning the situation. Otherwise, you yourself will go be cast down along with everybody else. Or you allow the situation, you know, to cast you down. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 3 to 6, and verses 8 and 11 as well. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? I'm not going to, you know, just be cast down like that. I'm going to do something about it. Glory to God. And what do you do about it? Well, what you do about it is own the situation and step up. You know, and not stay down. Here's the scripture in Job 22 and 29. Rather than being cast down, you can say there is a lifting up. And also, you know, I talked about this a few days ago, that, you know, what do you see in the process? You see giants, or do you see a land that's flowing with milk and honey? Do you see a glass that is half empty, or you see a glass that's half full? Can you say to yourself, like the psalmist said in Psalm 42, can you say, why art thou disquieting within me? Why are you cast down? You know, oh my soul, Psalm 42 verse 5. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to remember the Lord from the land of Jordan. I'm from the Ammonites. I'm from the hill Mizar. I'm going to remember the good things and the good days and so forth. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, look, rather than dwelling on the negative, challenge your thoughts. Take charge of your thinking. Own your own journey. And think of the things that are positive, things that are good, things that have virtue. Is there any praise? Is there anything good about these things? Think on these things. Things that are of good report. Things that are of faith. Report of people that bounce back. Encourage yourself like that. We've heard the stories of those who, even in the Bible, after they have suffered a while, they inherit the promise. You will challenge yourself also. And rather than bemoaning the situation. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, look, you may be going through the night right now, and every one of us will go through from time to time. Today, as you are hearing my voice right now, you may say, well, everything is looking good. Tomorrow, you may be going through. Everybody is always going through at some point in time. That's why the Lord, from the beginning, he left the night and day side by side. And this verse 30 of Psalm 30 verse 5 says, no matter how long the night is, that joy is coming in the morning. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, while you are in the night, you got to own the situation. You got to say it like this. And every morning when you get up, this is again how you own your journey. How is this day going to turn out? This was one of the scriptures that we started this room with when we started way back on October 1st. Psalm 110, verse 3. Every day you come out in the womb of the morning. The womb of the morning means the day is pregnant. Well, what's it going to bring forth? Well, you can command the beauties of holiness. You can command the dew of youth, according to Psalm 110, verse 3. And you can say to yourself, Lord, I know that today is the day of your power, and I'm ready. I am willing. You can get up in the morning and say to yourself, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places, according to Psalm 16 and verse 6. I have a goodly heritage. You can get up in the morning and look in the mirror. Somebody say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Well, you can look in the mirror and you say, my goodness, look at the grace of God in my life. You know, I've got a wonderful future today. Things are going to line up. You can quote Psalm 55. You know, and quote, Isaiah 55, I meant to say. You can quote Isaiah 55. Verse 11 to yourself in the morning. You can own the day and define the process for yourself. You can say today, hallelujah, I am going to go out with joy. I'm going to be led forth with peace and all these things. You can say the mountains and hills will break forth before me today into singing. And the Lord will line up the trees of the field to clap their hands for my success today. Well, it may take more than a day for that success to come out. But you have to own that journey. The whole time, you stay right there with it. Glory to God. Jesus, he stayed right there with it. The Bible says that he endured so many things because his eyes were on the prize. And he would not back down until he got the gold. He went for the pearl of great price. And he was going for it. Well, when you're going for whatever it is you're going for, don't back down, don't give up. Now this journey, this life is full of that. You know, we are a spirit being, but also we have to deal with this life. And we got to know how to balance and live in both realms at the same time. You know, this physical world will bring up kinds of challenges. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Be of good cheer. he said, because, you know, you're going to have all these challenges. You know, you're going to have difficulties, challenges, tribulations, testings, trials, ups and downs. But he gives us the, you know, antidote or the answer of peace. He said, my peace I give to you through all of that situation. You know, I'm going to give you the victory because I already overcame for you. Glory to God. So while we are going through, let's own the process. Don't just take what life is dishing at you. Some people say, you know, that life handed me a bad hand. Don't just take that. Curate the day for yourself, saying, this day the Lord has made for me and not me for the day. Therefore, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Glory to God. We take charge of everything. We talked about, you know, using, when we did the faith challenge or the lab, faith lab, we talked about using the word of God to shape our future. Well, same kind of thing here. But I'm bringing an angle here for us to take responsibility. It's what I'm really bringing out here. Take responsibility. Don't blame anybody for anything. You know, just take responsibility and do something about that situation. Don't stay down for the count. Don't stay in Sin City, you know, but say, Lord, you know, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to say to my father, I have sinned before you, before heaven, and I'm going to make restitution. I'm going to do something. So he got up and he went home. But in his mind, he thought, well, maybe I may not be accepted. But the father was waiting to accept him anyway, the prodigal son. So what are we saying here today? Well, there's not a single person in this room today that has not faced or is not even facing situations. I mean, sometimes the day starts out great. And the next thing you know, all kinds of things. Sometimes the very things that you are praying that God should bless you with, when you finally get that blessing, it seems like all hell broke loose. It seems like the blessing came with all kinds of trouble. You've been praying for a new job, but then you get the job and it's like, my goodness, you know, but you got to own that. Hallelujah. You can't back down from it. Praise God. You cannot and should not back down. You know, listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. How Paul put it here. He said, quit ye like men. What does that mean? Well, stop being, you know, up and down and you're not, you know. Look, watch, he said, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. You know, don't be weak. Quit ye like men means, well, actually it's the opposite of quit. He said, it's just like, don't be, you know, like shaky minds. It's really what it means. Be strong in the Lord. Don't let your situation get the better of you. And don't say, you know, that, well, I don't know. You know, of course you know. Because the Lord has given us the ability to shape our life with his word. You know, the things that God has promised us, Jeremiah 29:11, are for good and not for evil. But evil will come. You know, things will happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14 will tell you that God leaves these two things side by side. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. I mean, there's going to be a time when you'll be prospering and everything's like down the mountaintop. Well, rejoice. But remember, adversity is coming. You know, when adversity comes also, consider this. He said that God has set the two things side by side, both adversity and prosperity. Why? Well, so that we can always look to him and not to anyone else. Night and day, God set them side by side. From the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And he divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day. He called the darkness night. But he left the darkness in place. He could have said, let there be no more darkness. But he didn't say that. All he said was, let there be light. He even gave the darkness a name. Because there will be a reason for it. You take advantage of even the darkness. Maybe that's when you rest. Jesus himself said, look, I must walk in the daytime. You know, but the night cometh when no man can walk. So he left it there. Every day, when there are many hours of daylight, you do something. When it's time to rest, you rest. You take advantage of even the downtime. Glory to God. There is downtime that we must take advantage of. Hallelujah. And you do things. You recharge. You know, I work in technology, and even, you know, we like to keep all the systems up for all of our customers and make sure everything is good. But sometimes you got to take the systems down. We call it downtime. And, you know, maybe that's when you bring an upgrade or you fix some bugs or you put in some performance enhancements or whatever it is. But, you know, during the downtime, you take advantage of it and do something and the, you know, to make the outcome even better. And that's the same thing. Take advantage daily of the hours supposed to rest. That you're supposed to rest and recharge. Come ye yourselves up unto a desert place and rest for a while. Take advantage of that on a weekly basis. Take advantage of that on a monthly basis. Take advantage of it from time to time. But more importantly, you know, own the process. Define your own journey. I mean, don't be a victim of circumstances. You know, yes, we're born into a situation where we could not help. But now, you know, we're a grown man or grown woman. Now we can define our own journey by looking into the perfect law of liberty. We look into the word of God. We see what God has said for us. And we go for it. Hallelujah. That's right. You go for it. You don't sit down there and say, well, you know, that's the way things have always been. No. You go for what could be. Hallelujah. And every day God can help us to improve ourselves and be a better version of ourselves. Now, let me put a caution to this. Let somebody's thinking in their head that I'm talking about you just doing everything yourself and cutting the Lord out. That's the farthest thing from it. I'm talking about using the word of God, you know, to arm yourself and for you to take responsibility. And wisdom teaches us certain things as well. You know, there is faith and there is also wisdom. This journey, I'm calling it the journey of faith. But you need wisdom along the way to keep you on track. Otherwise, you're going to fall into numerous ditches. When you fall into those ditches, your faith will pull you out, but your wisdom could have kept you from falling into a ditch in the first place. So it's a balanced diet. And the lesson today, I'm going to end a couple minutes at the top of the hour. The lesson today is this. I'm going to summarize what we have said so far. What does it mean to own your own faith journey? One, many things. It also means that define your own belief systems. Don't just go with the norm or that's the way everybody believes it. Why? If that's the way the word of God says it, then that's fine. But if that's not the way that the word of God says it, then don't follow just because that's the way everybody believes it, that's the way everybody does it. And Jesus was against the norm. He didn't like to do things just the way that everybody did it. You know, so we don't have to follow just because that's the way everybody. Remember, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there have been multitudes of people that going down that path. But the road that leads to life is very narrow and only few people find it. So we don't need to follow the crowd. Define your own journey. What is it that God has called you? We talked about knowing the call of God in your life. That's one aspect. Another aspect, even in our personal lives, is for us to take responsibility for even failures and mistakes. You know, you made some foolish decisions on the process. Don't blame anybody for it. God can turn it around for you. All you got to do is step up and take responsibility, just like the prodigal son did. He could have just stayed there and continued to wallow away in his sin and in his failures, or he could make a decision to snap out of it and go back home and make restitution. And he did. He did the right thing, finally. You know, so we've got opportunities. Don't be saying there and say, no man is going to help me. Every time I try to get in the water, you know, somebody steps in ahead of me, you know. And that's many people think that, you know, especially some people from Africa, the country Nigeria where I grew up. I grew up around people that are always saying, well, there's nobody to help me. Vain is the help of man. God will help you. Here is your declaration of faith to wrap this up. I've given this in this room before, Isaiah 50 and verse 7. The Lord God will help me, and I'm going to set my face like a flint. Hallelujah. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to stay down. You know, if the enemy chief shot me somehow, I'm going to bounce right back. Hallelujah. I will not stay down for the count. The Lord is going to help me. I will set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed and I will not be confounded. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that is our lesson for today. Just a set of admonitions to encourage us. Nothing you haven't heard before. But I encourage you because today you're going to face a situation that you will need that. Or tomorrow, to remind yourself that, look, I've got to take responsibility. I have to own my own thing. Nobody's going to hand anything over to you. You know, the promotion or whatever that keeps passing you up, they're not going to hand it over to you. But you've got to take responsibility. God will show you how, you know, to take responsibility, to develop yourself, chart your own course, and God will help you. Hallelujah. We should not stay down there and have any limitations. The roadblocks don't need to be a roadblock. It can be a hurdle. You jump over it. You know, the mountains don't need to stay mountains forever. You know, you climb the mountain or get around it somehow. One way or another, you know, you're going to get to, you must keep going and get to where you're going. You're going down the road and there's a roadblock and you got to get somewhere. You don't stop in the middle of the road and say, well, or you turn back. No, you find another way. You take a, you know, what the people call a detour, and you get around that roadblock, and a roadblock is designed to keep, to impede, you know, your progress along the path that you are in. So there's some natural roadblocks when they are doing roadwalks, but there's also spiritual, mental, you know, emotional roadblocks that the devil will put out there to make sure that you cannot proceed forward. You must not give him the light of day. Own the situation. Go to the Lord and encourage yourself in the Lord. Bible says, quit ye like men. Stop letting the devil play ping pong with your life. Be strong. Stand fast. Watch ye in the Lord. And step up in faith. And move forward. And bounce back. Anytime the situation knocks you down, the enemy tries to get advantage of you, don't give him any advantage. Don't stay down for the count. Get up. Get up again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Cast away anything that so easily besets you. Run with patience the race that God has set before you. Own the process. Define your own faith journey. Bounce back from anything that the devil throws at you, and the Lord will continue to give you the victory. For he has made us to be more than conquerors. And none of these things, tribulations, distress, and so on and so forth, can keep us down. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone that's listened in this morning. We thank you for these exhortations. Give us even more wisdom, more understanding of how to fight a good fight of faith, how to not stay down for the count, how to lift our head up, how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and how to chart our own faith journey by the word of the Lord, as it is written, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Being guided, Lord, by your word, knowing the good things that are freely given us of God, according as you have said, "My thoughts towards you are for peace and not for evil." May the Lord set before you today, you know, give you the wisdom and opportunities for you to see how the mountains will eventually sing for joy, you know, how the hills will leap for joy, and how the trees of the field will line up. God will line them up, clap, and celebrate your success. God bless everyone that has listened in this morning. And Father, we thank you and give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.